Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood.
We missed a week, but we're back.
It was Thanksgiving's fault.
It was Thanksgiving's fault.
Sorry to all the foreigners that don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Foreigners. Apparently people from the South are now foreigners.
Well, I was talking to people, well, Mexicans, yes.
Apparently.
So we're sorry, Thanksgiving did it.
So, some bad news to start off.
It's here.
For all of you that listened to the last podcast, Race went to Madison Square Garden and he lost, but he lost via unanimous decision.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to talk to him today. I was actually going to talk to him at work, but he did not come into work. I'm assuming because he got punched in the face a lot. I actually don't know like how his flight plans were, if he was planning on working today regardless, but he came in. So when he fought in San Antonio when we were in training, he came in that Monday. So anyways, I'll probably see him tomorrow.
Yeah. You have to ask him how it went and see if there's any videos of it.
There's not. I would have found it.
Yeah,
I was,
man,
scouring.
We tried.
The internet.
We tried,
man.
And tried.
He said, like, there was, he, this just drives home how much I can't stand boxing and how behind the times they are, in my opinion. And correct me if you're a boxing guru, but how in this day and age you have a fight card in Madison Square Garden and there's literally no way to watch it. I would have almost, if they had something equivalent to Fight Pass, I would have almost got that just to watch Race.
I mean, even the UFC had Facebook, their Facebook fights.
Yeah.
I mean, they at least, yeah. I mean, it's very weird that the UFC has been getting that together for years and years now.
I even asked the boxing subreddit and nobody said anything like, hey, you can get them here. Obviously, I don't think you could get him anywhere. And he was the very first fight, so I understand that's a hard one to get. But I couldn't find even, other than the, what was it, three fights on the main card?
Did anyone comment on it at all?
Not a thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first fight on the undercard.
Well, I mean, right, yeah. But there were no other fights televised other than the three. And then that goes into my other point, because I actually did. I'm glad you brought this up, because I wanted to talk about this. I thought the whole point of prelims were to get people excited for the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Or to tune into HBO, right? Mm-hmm. If like these fights were, what does boxing use it for? Is it just for the people that attend to have more fights?
Probably for people to pad their records. I mean, when Raceful goes in there, he's like, "Hey, no, I'm on here just to get my, you know, pad somebody else's record." I think that's where they actually get it. And they might not broadcast them just in case one of those guys loses, and they lose all credibility.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It was a weird experience.
You couldn't bet on them either. I tried to find him on BetDSI.
You're going to bet on against Race?
I wasn't going to bet against him. I wanted to see what the odds were, honestly.
I don't know. It was weird to me I thought boxing was making a comeback, and I'm probably too close to the woods or too close to the trees to see the woods, however the saying goes. Yeah. But that seemed more like a dead sport to me. It would be easier for me to find a third division football game in the NCAA or the third division in a soccer league than it was to find Madison Square Garden WBO boxing card.
And you know, when our streaming app can find literally everything and it has no prelims for that fight, that it's not.
Danny said it found like Brazilian lacrosse or something like that, like something absurd. Yeah. It wasn't exactly that.
Cricket. They have Indian cricket,
yeah,
and all kinds
like
of other
obscure
stuff.
Obscure stuff.
Yep. Because there's people from all over the world that want to see it. So I've been against boxing since I tried to watch it about 2 weeks before the Conor McGregor fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like it. I don't like how they pad records. I don't like that you can't find undercards. I'm not a big boxing fan.
Yeah. I mean, I did watch the main event. I tuned in here and there. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I don't even know who the guys were.
Kovalev, Shabransky. I think it's the third time they fought, and Kovalev destroyed him. I think finished him in the second round, if I remember right. But
wow, that's a quick finish for boxing, second round.
He should have had him in the first, and I think he had two knockdowns in the first. I might be lying, because, again, I was in and out, but it was...
So was the other boxer.
True. Every time that he went on to the mat, I just walked away.
You 10 candidate.
Walk away.
So let's, we did miss talking about a card. There was a UFC Shanghai card that went on from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. our time. Not a ton to talk about. I didn't watch anything other than the highlights. This actually looked like it was a pretty fun card. A lot of the Asian fighters ended up on top. There were a lot of Russian fighters as well that did really well. Bisbing. First off, what do you think about Bisbing coming back, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after he lost?
Mm-hmm.
And was flash KO'd and then comes back and then he gets knocked out immediately in the first round by Gastelum. You think he should have been back that quick?
Yeah. Football players do it all the time.
I guess. I mean, it's a mandatory, what, 2 weeks off? 1 week off? 2 weeks off?
Yeah, I think 1 week. I mean, have the scans and everything, but I mean, I feel like we were kind of going the opposite way of too crazy. Like, if he's passing the neurological test that we have right now and he's saying that he can fight, let him fight. But, I mean, because he didn't, if he got, like, flatlined in the GSP fight, cause he got choked out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he did get the, which, did you see the, did we talk about this? The cutbacks where they were talking about the best response to a takedown? When Bisbing's saying it, he's talking to George, he's like, listen. The best defense for a takedown is still a left hook, and it just shows GSP hitting him with the left.
We did see that where GSP knocks him out with the left.
I might have mentioned that in the last cast. I can't remember, but I thought it was funny. He did get flash KO'd, but I mean, he still was finished by a choke. I don't think
he's been knocked down in six of his last eight fights,
mm-hmm.
either KO'd or at least knocked down.
Yeah, but he's taking a ton of time off with all the GSP up and down hype.
I guess that's true too. There was a huge, yeah, almost it was like
only the Henderson year. between that and him getting the belt against Rockhold.
Speaking of a lot of time away from the octagon, did you know it's been over 367 days since Conor McGregor was in the octagon?
Mm-mm.
Someone posted it on Twitter a couple days ago, so it's like 380 something like that now. Without defending any of his belts, walking into boxing. It's kind of crazy. And yet they said he was, oh, we never discussed this. So for anyone that didn't know, the Bellator stuff that we talked about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. So Conor McGregor, his supposed punishment for that was being removed from the December 30th card. And then his management came out and were like, he was never on the December 30th card. We don't know what you're referring to.
Hey, shut up.
Yeah.
We had a good narrative going here.
Well, and I think the hard part about that is I think that the December 30th card now is Cyborg versus freaking Holly Holm, which does show that they were probably trying to get something better than that on that card, and it didn't work out. So
I like that fight, in all honesty.
As a main event?
Yeah, I mean, I like it more than Amanda Nunes versus Miesha Tate.
Well, I mean, that wasn't supposed to be a main event, and it happened to fall into that position.
Well, that's what happened to this one, right? They were trying to get something else in, apparently, and it, I mean, that
supposedly.
I mean, who knows? I guess that's wide speculation. I have no idea.
Cyborg Holm, Nurmagomedov Barbosa, which is an awesome fight. Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. Barbosa's just going to get taken down. Rivera versus Lineker, which is super fun.
I think
Condit Magny. It looks like this card is missing a serious main event.
You know what nobody's been talking about, speaking of the boxing thing? We need Conor back in boxing, and we need Nate Diaz in boxing, and then those two fighting for some belt that we've all made up.
The Conor belt?
Yep. Because there was some talks about Conor going up against Paulie Malignaggi in April or something like that.
You see that Golden Boy... Who's the guy that was saying it was a joke?
Huh?
Old boxer, Hispanic dude.
De La Hoya?
De La Hoya. Thank you. De La Hoya saying that he was training again and he wanted to go, he would only need one round against Conor McGregor.
Oh, weird.
After he
all
was that saying,
bitching and all of a sudden he wants a fight.
Then it was
hey, man, how much?
It was a joke for the sport and it should have never happened. And now he's saying that he's back in training and he could finish Conor in one round.
He probably could. Nobody cares.
Nope. He's just trying to get his name back
cares,
out there.
De La Hoya.
Well, it was also on his own podcast too, which is kind of funny.
Which
means no one else invited him on their podcast for him to talk. He had to do it on his own.
Joe, I am willing to come on JRE. No, we're good, man.
Yeah,
I swear I'll come.
We all know what you're going to say, and we don't want to hear it.
But yeah, and then have Nate and Connor do the rubber match in boxing.
Diaz would kick his ass in just straight boxing.
Who knows?
I mean, he already has.
He did decent against Floyd.
God, let's not even get into that. Decent. Floyd didn't fight for the first seven rounds. I don't want to get into this. He did awful. He didn't do awful. He did better than I would, but he's not.
He did better than I expected.
I don't know what I expected. I mean, it kind of is what it is.
I'm just saying he's fought higher level boxers than Nate has.
One higher level boxer.
I mean, it's not like Nate has an insane pedigree. It's not like Nate's just been going up and through like amateur fights and stuff. Like that's.
What do you think of Joanna saying that she's the real champion, and that
Rose
is
that?
Just taking care of her belt? Yeah. And I quote from Twitter. Joanna says, Rose Namajunas is just taking care of my belt. I'm the real champion.
Yeah, that's
you got to build up the next fight.
That's fine.
Apparently, Ben Askren is back finally.
The problem is you need a wall to bounce that ball off of, and Rose is not that wall. She's just going to just be like, hey, she said that that's her belt. All right.
She's just going to have a little bit of blood come out of her nose, and Joanna's going to get thrown across the room again. I don't know, man. There's just so much drama right now in the freaking UFC. You got TJ saying that Cody doesn't deserve a shot, that he's going to drop down and fight TJ. I mean, you've got Conor McGregor, who's been out for almost 2 years. It's just, it's crazy. But we do have two cards this weekend, which you probably had forgotten. Number one, the Ultimate Fighter finale, which...
Oh, that doesn't count as two cards. They do that every time.
Really doesn't matter. But... It's your boy, Andrew Sanchez, from the last Ultimate Fighter. You like that guy, El Derte?
The guy, back. I don't know if I like him.
You picked him to win the Ultimate Fighter at a weight class jiu-jitsu. Higher up, yeah. Sean O'Malley, this kid's actually worth watching. This is probably the only reason I'll tune in. Sean O'Malley was on looking for a fight. And he did, and then he found another one when he won. He knocked the kid out. He's scrappy, super, super scrappy. So, I mean, when a wrestler comes in, he's going to be in some trouble. And then, of course, this is actually, I feel like, the scrappiest card I've seen in a while. Eric Spicely's on here. He's a freaking, he beat your, I think, Warley Alves, I think it was. He submitted him, and he was one of the biggest underdogs of the year, and he ended up submitting him. This was Thiago Santos. He submitted in round one, which is nutty. And then he lost to good old Shoeface. Good old Shoeface. Anyway.
Submission rear naked.
If you don't know what to do on, what day is this? Friday? There's a couple cards going on. And then, of course, Saturday, woo-hoo. UFC 218.
I like this card.
I think I might put some money on Jose Aldo.
Hot take for me. I thought I was going to pick him. And is he the underdog?
Yeah, positive 215. So you put down 5, you win 10. You put down 10, you win 20.
How are you putting money down?
I haven't thought about it until today, and the whole card hasn't come out yet on BetDSI. But Max Holloway, Jose Aldo is, and I don't know. The problem with the first fight was Max Holloway was just faster than Jose Aldo. And it's very difficult to just improve your hand speed. Like, I feel like with age and with time in, you just progressively get a little bit slower. Just like Anderson Silva is a perfect example of that. You still have all the technique. You still feel like you're there, but you're just half a step too slow. And I think that's where Jose Aldo is. And that might be the only reason I don't bet on him, is because Max Holloway's striking just was on point. You had Frankie Edgar, you've had everybody else that Jose Aldo has fought who just can't get hands on him. Mm-hmm. And Max Holloway, Jose Aldo couldn't get out of the way. He couldn't get away from him. And I don't think that kind of speed can be made up through training. I think that's just an age thing. I could be wrong, and that's actually what I'm betting against, is my own feeling that, you know, hand speed can't be changed. But it's all about angles too. Jose Aldo just kind of stood right in front of him thinking that he could get out of the way fast enough, and he couldn't. So now he knows how, you know, he can watch tape and he can change up his entire game to not just stand right in front of Max Holloway and hope that he's fast enough to just get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And so I will probably put $5, at least $5 on Jose Aldo. But I think Max Holloway, because he beat him so handedly the first time, will beat him not in similar fashion. I think Jose Aldo looks better in this fight, but I think he still beats him.
Mm. I feel like Jose Aldo wasn't doing terrible
no.
against Holloway by any means. And I actually kind of like a shorter, as long as it doesn't go the full distance, or at least he has to have three really good first rounds. Because I don't think, I mean, he's always, not always, but he has occasionally had problems with gassing. And with a short camp, he was doing four rounds. I was watching did you watch the
embedded?
Yeah. Mm-mm. So his coach was saying he was doing four rounds anyways. They just threw fifth round on, but I still feel like he's going to be a little bit out of shape, a little bit. So the championship rounds are going to be tough for him, but
I think Jose Aldo comes forward this time, and I need to rewatch the fight. But from what I can remember, I feel like Jose was moving backwards and trying to avoid, and Max Holloway kept moving forward. And I feel like Jose Aldo, with everybody other than Frankie Edgar, does a lot better when he moves forward. With Frankie Edgar, he had to move back because he was a wrestler and he had to stay out of his wrestling range. But I feel like overall in Jose Aldo's career, other than against Conor McGregor where he ran right into his left, Jose Aldo has looked better and has fought better, performed better when he moves forward. And I think the only people that he hasn't really done that against is Frankie Edgar, because he's trying to stay away from the takedown.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he just wanted to counter Frankie. Like, it wasn't always just the takedown. Yeah, yeah.
And I think he thought he could counter Max, and then Max would just catch him.
I think he still can. I just...
Yeah, angle.
It just wasn't movement. His day. And that's... I'm still a Jose Aldo believer. I do not like him anymore. Like, he's completely fallen off that for me. I don't hate him. I don't hope that he loses every fight, but I'm definitely cheering for Holloway.
I like Holloway.
Except for he was sporting a Raptors hat. I don't like that.
Holloway?
Yeah. I don't like that.
What's he doing supporting Canada?
They gave him one. Oh. He's like, he was adopted by him. We'll give you a Jazz hat. I just barely got one for free at the new Delta Center.
We'll do it for free, Holloway. I like Holloway. I liked him ever since he lost to Conor McGregor and was good about it. He was one of the only ones to not bitch and moan about it. And so that made me like him. And then he's had a lot of good fights since then. And so he just seems like an all-around nice dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just like most Islanders, man. They're just nice people. What about Overeem Francis Ngannou, man? This is exciting. This is probably the most exciting fight on the card. And I think, let's hear your thoughts first, and I'll give you my thoughts.
I like this whole card, actually.
Yeah.
But
is this UFC 200?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time that we've had, like, an actual poster-worthy, like, heavyweight fight since, like, Lesnar Overeem. They're just two humongous individuals. And it's great for just, like, a picture. Like, you look at a picture, you see a tiny ref up against humongous men, or like in the same ring as humongous men. I love that. I still think the Holloway Aldo fight's better. I really, really want to see Ngannou do good.
This is going to be interesting because both of them come from a kind of a French kickboxing background.
French? For Overeem? He's Dutch.
Well, he's Dutch, but it's still kick. But he's K1. And that kick,
which is Dutch.
Well, understood. Kickboxing, the French are a predominantly kickboxing country. A lot of the kickboxing technique comes out of France. That's what I'm getting at. So though...
I don't know about that.
Alistair, I mean, and that's just... Yeah, no.
A lot of it is Dutch, and the techniques come out of the Dutch, which is where he's from, but it's splitting hairs.
No. Obviously, his technique comes from where he's from. Ngannou, who is from Cameroon but lives in France and speaks French, also comes from a kickboxing background. They're similar styles is what I'm getting at. Because if you look at, there used to be an old martial arts show on where a guy used to go around. He was an MMA fighter and he used to go to other places and fight in their styles. Mm-hmm. He went to France and they have a legitimate, like a mixture between kickboxing and Muay Thai, where it's like 90% kicking and there's not a ton of punches thrown. And that's more what I'm kind of getting at. Is they both come from a kickboxing background. Nonetheless, I know where they're from. That's not what I'm getting at.
I'm not talking about where they're from. I'm talking about where
their fights,
their sports come from.
But the kicking style. There's a predominant kicking style, fight style in France.
Right, but I'm just saying, you said both of theirs come from France. I was like, no.
I would guess the Netherlands fight style has a lot of French roots in it, based on the kicking and the K1 that he does. I don't know. Someone could correct me. Someone that knows more than me or you could correct me. But you and I, after this, are going to have our own kickboxing match. Just don't take me down and guillotine me.
It's my one kryptonite. I won't have to.
Oh, I forget you play soccer. Let's not do that either.
I have a pole groin. You're all right.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. Anyway, long story short, this should be really exciting. I don't assume that either of these guys are going to go for a takedown. Most of them have counter wrestling rather than like predominant wrestling. Ngannou fought Curtis Blaydes, who's a huge wrestler, and he beat him by a decision. Blaydes tried to take him down. He continued to get up. People in that weight class have tried to take him down, and he's continued to show his wrestling pedigree, his counter wrestling pedigree. And so this is going to be fireworks. This is going to be a really, really exciting fight.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Also, allegedly, Ngannou also had like the hardest punch that was thrown at the institute where they have this stupid punching machine. So like he hit the hardest of anybody that's come through there, including the boxers and everything, which at that weight in those guys, I think you're kind of splitting hairs there. It just seems like they're just two big men that if they connect, they're going to sleep. One of them's going to sleep.
Dutch kickboxing and Savate. Savate's the French one. So they are different, but nonetheless. Not Dutch Thai boxing. It's Dutch kickboxing. Dutch kickboxing is another style of karate. Thank you, Sherdog. Savate isn't only an amateur sport. That's why it's French in Europe. Most of the Savates go to kickboxing or Muay Thai if they want to have a professional career. Anyway, sorry. I just figured that I'd do a little bit of research.
Real quick. We all learned about Savate today. And if Francis is listening, he also just learned about it.
Francis? Ngannou?
The joke was he has not heard of that before because it's not a real thing.
It's amateur.
You ever seen him throw a kick? No. Yeah, she does. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Yes, he does.
Not really, though.
No, because he's got to avoid takedowns because everyone tries to wrestle him.
Mm-hmm.
Cejudo versus Pettis. This is a sleeper fight that could actually be interesting, but I would assume the Pettis just ends up on his back for three rounds.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling.
Cejudo's striking has increased, at least. I think he got his last win was by knockout, wasn't it? I'm clicking on it now.
I can't remember.
Wilson Hayes. Yeah, he knocked him out in the second round.
Oh, that guy's just been getting destroyed. Poor dude.
Well, after the elbows he received from DJ.
Who do you have in the Alvarez-Gaethje fight?
I have Gaethje. And only because I feel like he's going to be able to take more punishment than Alvarez. And these guys are just going to stand and trade. Gaethje's wrestling's too good for Alvarez to try and take him down, so he's going to have to trade with him. And I feel like it's just going to be a Michael Johnson versus Justin Gaethje kind of two-ish, where they trade, each one tries to catch the other one, and I think Justin Gaethje has a stronger chin, and I think Alvarez goes down.
And I think Alvarez is going to beat him pretty handedly. Like, he's not going to destroy him. Like, Gaethje's not going to come out looking terrible, but he's going to outpoint him, I feel like. But this is the fight, like, if I was betting, this is the one I'm staying away from.
Yeah.
It's just a coin flip for me almost. Like, I know I say that I think he's going to win handedly. That's just like my feeling. And because I didn't see it in the Michael Johnson fight. I wasn't like blown away by what Gaethje did.
No. He just took punches better than Johnson did. Yeah.
It was like Roy Nelson when you were watching Roy Nelson. It's like, how's he taking those? I honestly think Alvarez could take him down too. Like, I don't think he just,
I think Gaethje comes from a wrestling pedigree.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's why he strikes, because he doesn't have to worry about being taken down.
Yeah, I agree, but I still think that he could be taken down. Like, he just seemed lethargic and kind of off balance. I mean, we've seen wrestlers get out wrestled before. You had Cormier, that John Jones, anybody that went up against John Jones. That's not really fair, but
Dustin Poirier looked good against Eddie Alvarez for the first like round and a half before they got cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel like Dustin Poirier was a better boxer. I just feel like he was a step faster than Alvarez is. And I feel like that's what Gaethje's going to be. He's just a step faster than Alvarez. I think Alvarez could outpoint him, depending on the speed discrepancies. But that's what Alvarez is going to have to do. He's going to have to stick and move, and he's going to have to stay out of his range, and he's going to have to play defense. And I don't feel like Alvarez is – I don't feel like that's Alvarez's game. I feel like Alvarez is usually pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
I feel like he tried to stick and move with Dustin Poirier, and Poirier was faster than he was.
I definitely don't think that Gaethje's faster than him. Gaethje looked like three speeds behind Johnson and still won, but
I guess so. That's
he
true.
Could still pull it out, but
I mean, and you look at RDA. RDA was beating Alvarez pretty handedly until he got caught in the one combo. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, man. This whole card, that is an interesting fight, and that is a coin flip. And I feel like anyone that bets on the first round, like, oh, I called this was going to end in the first round, are going to be, you know, silenced if they lose by the people that said, oh, I bet this was going to go to decision. You know, because it's going to just be a whole bunch of circling and pointing and moving. But whoever loses usually doesn't say anything. You only hear from usually the people that win.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it either goes to decision or I think it's a first round KO. I don't really see anything in between.
I think a decision. I'm almost positive it's going to be a decision. It'll be a fun fight. It's going to be a fun fight, in my opinion. I mean, there is going to be some wrestling in there, but for the most part, I think they're going to be trying to do damage to the other guy, even when they do wrestle him. It's actually one of the fights I'm most excited for. Obviously, the main event is, I love it, but
good for Gaethje for coming into the UFC, kind of relatively unknown other than by diehards, and getting his name into the sport. Because he went from...
Got Ben Askren trying to follow.
Yeah, WSOF, just knocking people out, coming over to the UFC, knocking out Michael Johnson, and then getting immediately on The Ultimate Fighter. Like, that's big. That's one of the fastest moving fighters I think that there is. And a lot of people must have seen that Michael Johnson fight because, I mean, it's awesome with how fast he's moving. And with how young he is and where he's at, I think that they do need young blood in that division because I feel like the top... 7 or 8 are just cannibalizing each other. And it's really difficult for anyone to get a title shot because, you know, RDA gets beat out by Alvarez. Alvarez gets beat by Poirier. Poirier gets beat by Johnson. Johnson gets beat by Gaethje. They all get beat by freaking Conor McGregor. Like, it's just this very odd dynamic of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely interesting. So what about Tisha Torres, Michelle Waterson? Waterson's actually the underdog in this one.
It's because she's been off filming, wasting time instead of training.
I think they believe odds makers believe that Torres is a better wrestler and he's going to take her down.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Watterson's got the better BJJ, so I think, even though she was submitted by Rose.
Everybody gets submitted by Rose.
Everybody, except for Joanna. She got knocked out.
She would have.
I'm interested in this fight just because... There are actual...
She's still tapped.
Implications to this fight. Tisha Torres is a 5. She's been there for a while. Waterson wins. She gets thrown back up into the top 4. She can fight Claudia or
Carolina.
Andrade. Carolina. Yeah. There's a lot of fights for her. Do you know what weight this is? Is it...
115.
It is 115?
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if they were moving these two up to 125.
I think Michelle's small. Michelle's small.
Tisha Torres looks tiny in this picture. And they don't have height.
I mean, I saw Michelle up against T.O. last week, and she was tiny.
T.O. is in, like, Terrell Owens?
Yeah, she's in a TV show right now and on TV with all of them. The challenge, the pros versus champions.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Charles Oliveira's on this one. He's always a good time.
Both Oliveiras.
Alex Oliveira's on this one. Freaking David Timor, who's 6-1. He's a Swedish kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
Learned in France. Savat.
They're all from France.
They're all learned from France. He's him and Close, man. Timor's a fun watch, and Close is the guy that just ran through.
Is Muay Thai just Thai for French kickboxing?
For Savat, yeah. Right. Muay Thai is.
Boxing is just French for legless savant.
Savant. Oh, we just thought that guy was really good at piano. It's weird.
I didn't say savant.
I know you didn't.
They should start calling it savant savants.
Savant savants. Savant for savants.
Is it pronounced savant?
S-A-V-A-T.
I think there's an E in there, but is it pronounced that way?
Probably not. If it's French, they drop it.
Well, I think it's probably just sa.
Sa.
They don't pronounce the last two syllables.
Dude.
Sava.
Sava, dude. Drake or Klaus, or Klaus, however it's pronounced, he ran through Mark Diakesi, the guy, the black dude with the mohawk from the UK. Mm-hmm. And that dude looked unstoppable, and Klaus just ripped him apart.
Yes.
And so him versus Taymor is going to be interesting, but Klaus won't even be close. I think Klaus rips through him. Herring versus Courtney Casey. Courtney Casey's looked really good lately, even though her record is awful. Your girl, freaking Angela Magana, is on this card. You love her.
They dropped her.
She's 11. The hell? She's 11-8. I'm guessing they're hoping that Amanda Cooper, ABC here, just comes in and she's 3-3. Maybe they're trying to keep her in here so they can put her against Cyborg and Cyborg can eat her for dinner.
Who?
Magana.
She's not fighting 145.
No, she's probably fighting 115. Mm-hmm. Just feed her to Cyborg anyway. She's 11-8, and she's fighting someone that is 3-3. I don't know why. And it's the freaking, it's the headliner to the freaking Fight Pass prelims.
You were going to ask me something earlier, and we got sidetracked. I may have cut you off.
I don't know any of the rest of these dudes.
Yeah, who cares about them? You were going to ask me Ben Askren.
He just won against Shane Aoki in one FC.
That was his retirement fight, right?
Because he's got no one else, or Aoki's retirement fight.
No, that's Ben Askren's. That was his retirement fight, and then the only thing he came out and called GSP out immediately. So it's essentially just his one retirement fight.
Did he say he was going to retire? I didn't hear any.
All the headlines that I saw said retirement fight. Ben Askren retirement fight. Retirement fight. Retirement fight.
And then he called out GSP.
Yeah, so
silly.
That's actually, as far as things that I've been excited for outside of the UFC coming to the UFC, which if I would have known more about the WEC when it happened, I would have been way more jazzed about that.
I watched a ton of the WEC.
I watched WEC 53.
I worked at a hospital, and my break was at like 7 o'clock every night, and at 7 o'clock every night, the WEC was on in the break room. FS2 or Versus or some crap like that. And so I ended up watching it almost every single night because I worked 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And so I remember watching Chael Sonnen fight Paulo Filho. And I remember watching Brian Stann rip through everyone in that division. And I remember watching Uriah Faber and Jens Pulver fight every week because that's how often they fought every week. Mm-hmm. I remember when Jamie Varner and Donald Cerrone fighting each other was like, I feel like me watching the WEC was like how people talk about Pride. Like, oh, I remember the Pride days when no one knew who any of these dudes were and they were fighting in Japan. I feel like that's how I am with the WEC.
I watched just UFC, or God, I keep calling it UFC. WEC 53 is the only one that I watched.
That was Pettis.
That was the last Henderson, one. Yeah. Yeah. That was a,
I'm
way happy that I did. I love that card. With that being said, if I probably would have known about that, that would have probably been my thing that I was most excited for. But I am way excited for Ben Askren versus GSP.
It's not going to happen.
I really wanted to, is my point.
Ben Askren won't ever go back to Bellator UFC. He's basically burned his bridges to both places.
The money's right. He didn't burn his bridge anywhere, and he's never burned it with WME or whatever the
hell. I guess that's true. But Dana White and the Fertittas hated Ben Askren. And so did Scott Coker.
Well, I mean, Scott Coker, that doesn't matter. I mean, Connor's never going to fight him there anyways. Or, excuse me, GSP.
Yeah.
So all he has to do is... And who's his management group?
No idea. Alexander Gustafsson is rehabbing his shoulder.
Nah.
Beta codes for EA UFC 3 are now being sent out.
Nice.
Apparently they've restructured the entire striking system, and people don't know what they think about it.
The rubber arms? It's like playing with Mr. Fantastic. I don't know. I would really, really want that fight to happen. I think he is the best fighter to never fight in the UFC that's not named Fedor Emelianenko.
He's a terrible striker, though.
So?
He's like one of the top wrestlers ever. But he's a terrible striker.
Like Damian Maia.
I guess that's true. But Damian Maia tried to strike for a little bit. He just kept getting knocked out.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you a good striker. It's because you tried and failed.
To go off topic a little bit, did you see the poster, No Country for Old Men?
No.
Where I had the picture of Kevin Gastelum and it had Vitor, Tim Kennedy, and Michael Bisping all next to each other.
Anderson Silva's head would have been there if it wasn't for
steroids. Or maybe it wouldn't have been because of steroids.
No, he would have still got murked.
I think he would have too.
I hate that he has three losses on his record and that he always gets in weight problems or weed problems, because I think...
Weed problems?
He got busted for smoking.
He did? Maybe that was Cain Velasquez. I think it's all just steroids.
He never got busted for steroids, did he?
You know what else we haven't talked about? The Bellator heavyweight freaking Grand Prix.
Yeah. Kelvin really Gastelum flagged by USADA for marijuana. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gastelum April 6, 2017.
Sorry. I thought you were talking about Anderson
Silva. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, of course you did. No, I did. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't. That's, of course, that's what you thought. I was like, no, he didn't. Kelvin Gastelum, last thing he's been taking is steroids and getting caught for it.
He's too lazy. He's too lazy to take steroids. Smoking too much weed to take steroids.
They just need to have a Grand Prix of people that can't make weight. We need Anthony Johnson. We need Big Rig. And we need Kelvin Gastelum. And we'll find some other people.
All of the guys that can't make... John Lineker, he can't make weight either.
He's not close enough to him in weight.
I guess that's true.
And then we don't even have to bring in a scale. Come in at whatever weight you want. Let's see what happens.
And just fight each other. Yeah, man. MMA Reddit's actually decently quiet. So
I got into a discussion about racism on it the other day.
Oh, geez. About what? Let's hear it.
Because somebody was saying that if you make fun of Brazilians' accents, that it's racist. And I said that it wasn't. It's not nice. Like, if you make some...
I don't know. Here's why I don't think it's racist. I went to the UK, or to Spain, and the people there that spoke English was UK English, and they made fun of my way of speaking.
Exactly. And my point was, I lived in Mexico for 2 years. Yeah. Guess who got their accent made fun of in Spanish? Yeah. Me. Guess who didn't get broken up about it or thought that it was racist? Me. Mm-hmm. Now, so me and Paul were talking about this, and he's like, well, Paul's like, it's not racist, but it is mean, and this is kind of where I get on board with it. Because it was essentially making fun of Amanda's accent. The thing is making fun of people's accents is funny. It's not. It has nothing to do with race. One, Danny lives next door to me. He's okay with it, and he's my same race. He's white. It has nothing to do with race. But and then on top of that, it's like the guy was like, "Would you feel okay if somebody made fun of if you did a Kevin Lee impersonation or a Ishihara?" And I was like, "Well, Ishihara, first off, would have thought it was hilarious." And then I was like, would I feel offended if Kevin... And I was like, I don't really do them because they're hacky. But would I feel offended if Kevin Lee did a white one making fun of me or if Ishihara did it against me? He's like, no. And I'm like, again, it's if you single out one person and make fun of them to their face, it's not nice. But having a terrible English accent in Spanish is hilarious.
You're also talking about a sport that is still using homophobic slurs in reference to each other.
Everybody does. It's not just this sport.
Well, no, I understand. Yeah.
They just get caught for it more.
Well, they say it on cameras and so on and so forth. Yes, there's still plenty of people that is colloquial. My brother still used homophobic slurs in not in context to give me a hard time in the house, whatever it is. It's a funny... Because there's no ill will, it doesn't bug me in any way, shape, or form. I don't care what people say. Words shouldn't have that much meaning to them anyway. Long story short, what I'm saying is, of course you're going to mimic people that you hear speaking all of the time. It's like if you were to call a voice actor racist because he's trying to take on the voice and attributes of other people.
Well, it's a little different because they're bad at it, right? Like, that's what you're doing. Like, that's why I was made fun of. And I get that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a rite of passage.
Yeah.
My accent wouldn't have been as good in Spanish as it was if I wouldn't have been made fun of. And again, it was funny. They had hilarious things to say. And then just them sitting around, like, making fun of it, it's like, it's really not that big of a deal. Mm-mm. Like, you shouldn't do it to an individual, but a Brazilian accent in general is funny. Like Gustavo, like when he was teaching us jiu-jitsu and be like, oh, walking like a spider, walking like a spider. That shit's great.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, is I think we can both agree that we have way more respect for those that try and speak English, even if it's poor. Mm-hmm. And even if it's easy to say things like them because they have a specific way or have said something funny, and then from then on out you just repeat it, rather than those that are like, oh, I have a translator. Like, remember for forever when everyone knew Anderson Silva spoke really good English, and no matter what, he would get a translator?
I don't know that he really does speak good English, does he?
I think he speaks decent English, but there was a time, there was a couple people, and I think Chael Sonnen called out somebody that was like, your English is so much better, you don't need a translator. And then, because that's what it was, he would say things, and then Anderson Silva would respond in Portuguese, and he was like, he understands everything that I'm saying. But yeah, and so for those that are like, oh no, giving someone a hard time for their accent or the way they talk is racist, everyone would say that they have way more respect for those that are trying to learn and trying to talk. I mean, you look at Carolina, I mean, everything that she says, no matter how, like, badass she is, it just comes off as very sweet and very, like, kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she was like, they're like, Carolina, how do you feel to get back on the winning, you know, the winning path? And she was like, it was awesome. But she said it all like, it mm-hmm. was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh. I'm sure that people repeated that over and over and over again, and it wasn't because they were trying to be racist against Polish people. It's because they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. And I refuse to believe that just if you do an impersonation to make fun of somebody, that it's racist. Sacha Baron Cohen would be racist. Dave Chappelle would be racist. Cat Williams would be racist. And I find all of those people hilarious.
Cat Williams who gets knocked out by 13-year-olds?
It's not really relevant to this conversation, but if you want to bring that up here, yes, that guy that got beat up by 13-year-olds.
All right, I want to bring up one last. Wow, we can bring up as many last subjects as we want, but there's one last thing that I want to talk about.
Here.
Ryan Bader and King Mo in the Bellator heavyweight.
So excited for this whole thing.
I don't get it. Like, and then they put them against each other. So they put two 205ers against each other at the beginning of the heavyweight Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it does.
I don't want it to make sense. I want this to just be nuts and chaotic. I want random pulls, and I want weird fights. I want Fedor versus 185ers and have him get knocked out like he did against Dan Henderson. Want all of it. Love it.
I feel like someone broke it down by like how long it would take for this to actually finish, and all of these fights altogether are going to take almost a year. Chael Sonnen is on this.
Yep. It's exciting.
Rampage, I guess, because his fat ass is heavyweight now.
Yep.
Frank Mir looking just like a freaking centaur, half goat, half man. Roy Nelson. I mean, but he's at least a heavyweight.
So is Frank Mir.
No, I know. He just, in his picture.
And that's who my pick is, by the way.
In his picture, he looks like a centaur.
Picking Frank Mir. Early pick.
I wonder if you, they should have a bet where you can pick who you think is going to win.
Yeah, payout should be great.
All right, so here's this. Let's see if it has the dates.
First one's in January.
Yeah. Okay. This is on Twitter. Here we go. January 28th. Chael Sonnen versus Rampage Jackson. Chael Sonnen is just going to take him down. Except Rampage is a big, big boy. He's a big boy. April. So yeah, January is the first one. Rampage and Chael. February is the second one. Matt Mitrione and Roy Nelson. January, February, March, April is the third. And then May is Ryan Bader versus King Mo. So they take a month off. I guess at any moment they could technically, you know, alternate these guys, right? So if someone gets injured, but I guess the reason that they have no end date is if someone gets injured, they can just sit them out until they finally fight each other, right?
No, I mean, they probably still don't have end dates because they probably don't have arenas for all of them. They don't know how it's going to play out. I think you can only really have the first round and then kind of figure it out from there.
Well, I mean, but they also have months and months apart, right? So if Rampage beats Chael and Frank Mir beats Fedor, that next fight could happen before the following fights because technically if they don't get that injured, you might as well just have them fight again.
Mm-hmm.
But you really think Frank Mir beats Fedor?
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting fight. Matt Mitrione versus... him? Yeah. But Fedor can also submit him. Matt Mitrione versus Roy Nelson is probably the most interesting fight to me.
What heavyweight has the best jiu-jitsu?
Frank Mir.
Verdum.
Well, yeah, well, in this and who tournament.
Fedor?
Verdum.
I think Frank Mir's just, if you're talking straight heavyweights, he beat the Nogueras. Or a Noguera, right? Or no, he beat both.
I just think.
By submission, didn't he? Or one knockout, one submission.
I don't remember. Oh, you're talking Frank Mir? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he broke Big Nog's arm.
And then I think he knocked out Little Nog, but he at least submitted one of them. I just, my point is he has just as good of a chance as anybody. He just,
now that he's on the juice.
The problem is it's four fights or three fights of not getting hands laid on you by a lot of big people that have like bad intentions. That's a tough one.
It's going to be interesting.
This is my thing. Like
Roy Nelson crushed Matt Mitrione when they fought.
My pick is who's somebody that can grind out a win any way possible. And it's pretty much Frank Mir. Frank Mir can knock you out. He can submit you, and he can get a decision. Roy Nelson could just submit you. He never will. He can only knock out, and he can't win decision. Fedor's well enough rounded. He's just old as hell. I've never believed in Matt Mitrione, and all the other guys are too small.
He submitted both of the Nogueira brothers. He submitted both of them. Antonio, he busted his arm, and then it was a technical submission. Kimura. Antonio Roy. Yeah. 2011. Wow.
And he has good enough
hands. Oh, no, I take that back. That was a technical submission where he busted his arm.
Yeah, because he didn't tap, and he just looked at it. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget that. Ugh. I'm not, like, certain he's going to win by any means because it's chaotic, but I look at who has enough tools to do it, and I just don't think anybody else really does.
Sorry, I'm looking at all these.
Chael's too small. Bader, I think, is too
small. Oh, no, Antonio Silva. Wrong person.
So he submitted Silva.
I think he did. Big Nog. He submitted Big Nog twice.
I think he knocked out
He knocked out Big Nog.
Oh, so that's and what then it was. He submitted of course, because Little Nog's 205. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
He's too small. I thought we might be talking like beginning days of the UFC or some like...
Sorry, everybody that just rage quit because I just stumbled over that and didn't know what I was talking about.
They're twins. It's very easy to
they're not twin weight classes, though. You can't fight 205.
They're not. Bader versus King Mo. I mean, Bader already beat King Mo, I believe, in Bellator, and it wasn't even close. So I just don't... I don't fully understand this.
It is not meant to be understood. It is meant to just be watched.
I think Bader wins the entire tournament.
I don't think he has fought King Mo, by the way.
Yeah.
When did he?
When his first fight, I think, in the Bellator.
Nah, it's Phil Davis. Linton Vassell.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is Phil Davis.
Wikipedia is right. I don't know anything about Brian Bader.
Darth Bader. I thought he already fought King Mo. King Mo's a 185er. He just fights at 205.
No, he's a 205er. He's fought heavyweight. Like he's a legit 205er in my opinion.
Yeah. I think he's just a little small man.
Sure. I like this, man. I think it's the best thing that Bellator could have done. I love it.
I just wish it wasn't so it's like one fight every 3 months.
I need a big ass press conference though.
With all of them just yelling at each other.
With Fedor Chael yelling and Fedor at all not of them.
Saying a word.
Just Chael yelling at all of them. That's what I want.
All right. Let's see here. Quentin Rampage Jackson. Why don't they say the weights in the Wikipedias?
They do on the right.
No. Strikeforce heavyweight, light heavyweight. I take that back. Apparently he's not a 185er. Apparently we are at the end of the podcast and we have to fact check ourselves because we're walking in the unknown Bellator. The unknown Bellator territory.
Well, after what I was just spewing out, I feel like UFC is also unknown.
It's exciting. I just wish it wasn't taking so long to get to where it was going to be. January, February, skip a month, April, and then May.
I'm okay with it dragging out. I got nothing else going on.
The other hard part is you have Rampage and Chael, who are the biggest talkers in both weight classes or in both sections or in this entire tournament, and they're fighting each other right off the bat. So whoever loses, there goes one of your major shit talkers right there. However, Rampage might have signed some kind of contract saying he wasn't going to do any kind of hype for it.
By the way, another interesting thing is Fedor has also beaten Big Nog twice and had a no contest with him because of a headbutt. So, I mean, that's kind of a moot point. He didn't submit him, but that was just kind of a point to illustrate how good Frank Mir is in jiu-jitsu. But
he is good, and so is Fedor. And
who do you have? They're not your early pick.
I mean, Roy Nelson. He can take the biggest most punishment out of all of them, and he's got really good jiu-jitsu as well. I don't think Chell's big enough. No. If they wrestle, I don't think Rampage is going to get that far. I think Rampage probably loses to the second round. I think Ryan Bader's probably too small, and Roy Nelson can take a ridiculous beating. And so, I mean, if he can just point fight or take people down and submit them, he's got a pretty good chance of just kind of walking through the tournament. That's the worst possible thing that could happen for Bellator, though.
No, they would love it.
You don't think it's Roy Nelson, who's like the least likable champion, would be good to win the Bellator tournament?
Everybody loves Roy Nelson.
Oh, I love Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
Just because he's the anti-fighter.
Exactly. Everybody loves him.
But he's been a punching bag for like the last 6 years.
Uh-huh. So if he wins, what's not like, what do we not love about that? I mean, look at how much everybody loves Gaethje now.
Yeah, and he's just a punching bag.
Very good punching bags.
It's a big yawn. And with that, we should probably wrap it up.
We did it. We stumbled around that last part. Yeah, last 10 minutes, enough.
We did pretty well. I mean, the French part was a little off. We got past that. Then
I just don't know why you don't respect the Dutch for what they've done for the sport. That's what I just want to know.
The Flying Dutchman.
Flying Dutchman.
I hate Van Persie. You know, the Netherlands team didn't even make the World Cup. So let's just throw the whole country away.
Van Persie plays for him anymore, but that's okay.
Well, I know he doesn't. But I was
French team.
Step by step. He's a savant. He's a savant now.
Hate him.
I just kept thinking Savage. Bison Savage or whatever. Anyway, and with that, thank you everybody for tuning in again. Sorry if you rage quit the podcast after this one.
I'm not.
Feel free to hit us up on Twitter and let us all know all of the other things that we got wrong today. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.